Psalms meant to be sung, but they are also meant to be read and preached from. And so if you would turn in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 95, we will be reading Psalm 95, verses 1 through 11. We won't be using this psalm as a text that we will be explaining all the different portions of it. It won't be an expositional sermon in that sense. But it will be we'll be using Psalm 95 as a guide to the singing of the psalms. And 95 is the psalm that we take up at this time. So let's give attention to God's word. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let's briefly pray together as we take up this portion of God's word. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you have given us a psalm book, that you have given us inspired words of praise. And as we turn our attention to this particular psalm, may you use it to instruct us about your desires and intentions and designs for the singing of your praise through your word. Bless us to these ends in this time, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there is a caricature about Reformed Christians or Reformed Christianity that we are unemotional Stoics and that we are socially backward and that we hold to a faith that is almost entirely intellectual and non-experiential. Now, while those characters might be true in some regards, the solution to every one of those potential pitfalls of the Reformed faith is the singing of psalms. Now, as I say that, you might be thinking, Pastor, I believe you're confused. In fact, the psalms are what we feel most often we need to apologize for when people come and visit for the first time and they ask, now, why were you singing psalms and why without instruments? But no, the answer, the solution to all of these characters that I mention is by no means a need to apologize for psalm singing, but embracing psalm singing, because psalm singing is an expression of our emotions. It is an expression of our union together and our fellowship with one another. And it is an expression of our union with Christ. And so we will focus in our time tonight on that very issue. Sing the Psalms as an expression of your heart and of your fellowship and of your union with Christ. So first, express your heart through the singing of Psalms. Notice in verses 1 and 2 of our psalm here, Psalm 95, that we are expressing our emotions. It says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And so in the singing of psalms, all of the emotions of the hearts, our hearts are seen in the Psalter. Even here we see joyful exclamations, thankfulness and reverence, worshipful humility, and excited eagerness to come into God's presence. But then in the latter half of the psalm, we see that it takes a different, more serious, somber note. But even as we notice that, of course, the singing of praise is not meant to only be excited jubilation and positive emotions expressed to God. And yet, in modern evangelical circles, that's nearly the only emotion that singing congregations have the opportunity to express: excited, joyful jubilation. Along this line, the vice president of Westminster Theological Seminary, Carl Truman, church historian and theologian, wrote an excellent article. You can find it online if you're interested in it. It's by the title, "What Can Miserable Christians Sing?" The idea is that in modern American Christianity, there's really no other emotion that a Christian can express to God in the singing of praise besides glad exaltation. And so what do we sing when we're miserable? And his answer is the Psalms. Because, of course, the Psalms take up all the emotions: misery and grief, fear and doubt, struggles that we face, suffering and affliction that are before us. We can cry out with the Psalms to God, "Why? Why have you brought this into our life?" Or we can plead with God from the Psalms for deliverance from our torment. And we can also simply acknowledge our sin and our brokenness. So the Psalms are a full expression of all the range of human experience and human emotions. And so as we give our praise back to God in the very words that He has provided with us, we are expressing our hearts to Him. And oh yeah, don't forget to express joy as well. We certainly have to do that. And while we do that, none of our praise from the Psalms is a mindless praise, but is an intelligent, theological, biblical expression of all of our emotional experiences in life. And so, are you discouraged? Turn to the Psalms. Are you sorrowful and downcast? Sing the Psalms. Are you caught in a sin that you just feel like you can't break free from? Confess with the Psalms to your God. Are you overwhelmingly thankful? Express the full range of your heart with the Psalms to your God. So sing the Psalms as an expression of your heart. Secondly, express your fellowship with one another through the singing of Psalms. We see that in our passage here tonight as well. We see time and time again, we are singing to one another. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. Let us come. Let us shout." And then in verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, the Lord our Maker, for He is our God." This is a corporate expression of fellowship. Now, in the dating situation or in the courtship situation, whatever you want to call it, there's a unique experience of fellowshipping with a potential future spouse. That one of the ways in our day and age that we assess whether or not someone will make a good husband or a good wife is by spending 2 hours sitting shoulder to shoulder with the person and watching a movie. I think this is kind of odd, because what are we assessing there in that time of fellowship? I think he'll make a good husband. He has a very good attention span. And so, as I say, that the fellowship that we experience in singing the Psalms is perhaps one of our highest expressions of fellowship, you might be thinking, well, that's kind of like sitting shoulder to shoulder watching a movie. What fellowship do we experience here? Maybe you'll look back at the clock and catch somebody's eye and they'll nod to you. Is that the fellowship that I'm speaking of? No. As we gather together for the singing of the Psalms, we are expressing our unity of faith as we confess that this truth in the Psalms is our truth. We corporately believe this, and we are encouraging one another by these truths. Have you ever noticed that there is a great amount of expression in the Psalms of singing to one another? That we're saying, brother and sister, believe this. Dear sister, hear this, be encouraged by this. As we sing to one another, there is great fellowship in the singing of Psalms. And not only do we sing to one another who are here living today in this place, but we are also singing the same content of the church throughout the ages. And we have fellowship with the church throughout every generation. There's something that is a blessing about reading old dead guys, that we can be encouraged by theologians of old or pastors of old and be mentored by them, so to speak. It's another thing altogether to sing the same songs as them, and in fact sing with them as they are offering praise even now before the throne of our Heavenly Father, as they join with us in corporate praise. But you see, it's hard enough for one generation to the next to like the same songs. Have you ever noticed that parents, children don't like certain songs because, I don't listen to that. My parents like that. It's hard enough for one generation to like the same songs as the next generation, and yet we are singing the same songs throughout all of the generations on the face of the earth, all the way back to the first time of expressing corporate praise as a people of God together. These are the words we are taking upon our lips, expressing our union with the church everywhere, throughout all time, throughout all cultures, throughout all epochs of God's people. And so, do you feel disconnected with the people of God? Do you feel alone or lonely? Come, sing the Psalms together. Or maybe if you don't have the opportunity to come sing the Psalms, sing the Psalms and remember that we unite with the people of God through all time in joining in fellowship with one another as you express the truth of God's word through the hymns and songs that He has given to His people for all generations until He returns again. But not only do we express our heart, and not only do we express our fellowship with one another, but we express our union with Christ in the singing of Psalms. You see that we sing about our Lord. We see this in our psalm tonight, Psalm 95. Notice in verse 7, we sing about God. He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. An idea here, a reference to the fact that He is the good shepherd. We are singing about our Lord. But not only this, notice as that verse goes on, it says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, when do we hear Christ's voice today? Well, we could turn to Romans chapter 10 and say that we hear His voice in the preaching of the word. We could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and say that we hear His voice in the reading of the word itself. Or we could turn to Colossians chapter 3 and see that we hear the very words of Christ in the singing of the Psalms. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We hear His voice today as we sing the Psalms. But not only this, we sing along with our Savior. Did you know that? We sing along with Christ. Not only because He is the Word of God Himself who authored the Psalter, authored all of the Psalms. Not only because He was a Jewish man who walked on the earth and sang the Psalms like all Jewish people did in those days and age. And not only these things, but because we clearly see from the New Testament that Jesus sang the very words that we do today. As it says in Matthew chapter 26, that after the Lord's Supper, they sung a hymn, speaking of Psalm 118, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. He is the singing Savior who sang all 150 psalms that we sing today, and we are singing along with him. Now, if this weren't enough, that we are singing about him, that we hear his voice in the singing of his word, and that he too sang the same words as us. But who are the Psalms about? See, there's a question of all up and coming pastors in our denomination that everyone is asked during the English Bible exam to name some Psalms about Christ. I found that to be an interesting question. I don't know all of them. One through 150. How do we answer that? Now, they're particularly thinking of the Messianic Psalms, but they're all about him. Every psalm speaks of Christ. And have you noticed that many of them are Christ speaking in the first person? And we are taking those words on our lips. Did you notice the change in Psalm 95 about halfway through, starting in verse 8? It says, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work for 40 years. I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. When we take the Psalms on our lips, we are taking the very words that Christ himself spoke, his very experiences upon our lips, and using those words as our words. We are expressing our faith in the first person of Christ himself. If that doesn't express our unity with Christ, I don't know what does. For how else can we better express our feelings of alienation from God because of our sin than when we sing, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or how, when we have felt betrayed by a close friend, if you've ever experienced that, can we better do so than by identifying with the betrayal of Christ and singing his words, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted has lifted up his heel against me? Or how can we better rejoice in the glory and blessing that Christ has won for us than when we take his words upon our lips and singing, in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore, as we sing about his resurrected victory at the right hand of the Father? As we sing the Psalms, men and women, we are expressing our hearts and our union together, but in unity with Christ himself, taking his words upon our lips. And they're our words. They're true of us, but they're also his words, and they're true of him, because by faith, everything that is true of Christ has been made true for us. And so sing the Psalms in union with Christ. Occasionally, you may read an earthly author where their words resonate with you and it expresses exactly how you feel. Or you may listen to a song on the radio, and just at that moment when it hits you, it really captures where you are right then and right there, and you can identify with it. And there are certainly some exceptional Christian songs and hymns that quite beautifully and accurately express our faith. But there is something altogether different when we are speaking of the one true and living God who sees every emotion of our heart and lays bare our minds and our thoughts before him. And it is him who has written the very psalm book of praise, giving us the songs that we are to sing in expression back to him, offering our praise before him. That is a unique and special experience. And as we do so, we are expressing our very hearts. And we are expressing our very fellowship together. And we are expressing our very union with Christ himself. So do just that, men and women. Sing the Psalms as an expression of your heart and of your fellowship and of your union with Christ. But sing the Psalms. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, that not only do we hear it read, but that we can sing it. And Lord, thank you for being that infinite God who knows the full depth and breadth of our human experience and has given us a book of praise whereby we can offer it back to you in an appropriate and godly way. That, Lord, you even counsel us as we express our emotions and you bring us to the place where we need to be as we think of these things, as we offer them up to you. So, Lord, use the Psalms even this night as we express them back to you as an expression of our love and commitment to you, our praise and adoration of you, as our love and fellowship with one another, and most importantly, of our love and union with Jesus Christ himself, our singing Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Would you turn to Psalm 95, selection A, by way of response? Psalm 95, selection A. And let's sing our praise to God by using this selection of God's word as we sing through the full range that we've just heard talked about. Psalm 95a, please stand and sing.
Seated. If you do have your Bible still, I'd like you to turn to the book of Acts, to chapter 1. And would like us to put into play some of the things we just heard from God's Word in terms of how singing impacts us. The final thing I'd like us to consider is that we sing in order to be discipled by Christ. We sing in order to be discipled by Christ. And I want to show this from two passages in the book of Acts. Beginning in Acts 1, verse 15. These are the days following the ascension of Christ. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted to share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it.'" And then turn maybe on the same page to Acts 2, verse 24. "God raised him up," of course that's Jesus, "loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh will also dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." You may realize that after his ascension, or before, sorry, right before his ascension, after his resurrection, Jesus spent a little bit of time with his disciples, with his baby church. He spent a few weeks with them, training them, and what must have been the best seminary class ever. And one of the things that, from my own study of the book of Acts, that I believe happened during that seminary class was that Jesus opened their eyes to the book of Psalms, and that he led them through the book of Psalms in a totally new and unique way that maybe they had never seen before, to see that the Psalms are all, as we just heard, about Jesus Christ. And the reason we can say that with some measure of confidence is that when you trace the apostles' preaching through the book of Acts, what book of the Bible do they keep coming back to? They quote from several books, from Joel and Isaiah, but they keep coming back to the Psalms. That's the one that seems to have stuck with them, the one that makes the most sense to them as referring directly to Christ. And so I'd like us to consider that when we sing the Psalms, we are being discipled just as the apostles were discipled by Jesus Christ, like Cleopas and his friend on the road on that day when Jesus sat with them and opened their eyes to the Scriptures. And that's what Jesus does as we sing the Psalms. He opens our eyes, not just to the Psalms, but to all of the Word through them. So we're going to sing a couple of these songs that the apostles showed us refer to Christ. We're going to turn first to Psalm 16, Selection D. So turn there, if you would, Psalm 16, Selection D. Stanza 5 says, "You'll not abandon my soul to the grave. Your godly one you will preserve from decay. Life's path you will show me. Full joy is with you." Peter says this is not just, it can't be just about David. It has to be about the resurrection of Christ. So let's sing. We'll stay seated. Sing Psalm 16, Selection D.
Beside you I do not pause.
Let's turn over to Psalm 62, Selection A. Psalm 62A. Psalm 62 is a song of resting in God. And as we sing it, we can sing it sort of directly from our own experience. I want to rest in God, commanding our souls to rest in God. Or we can realize that this is first the song of Jesus Christ. That before God ever commands and invites you to rest in Him, you have Jesus who rested perfectly in His Father. And it's striking that Jesus had to walk a life of faith, that He had to find rest in God alone, that He had to confess, "In God alone my glory is and my salvation, that God is my strength and my refuge most secure." And so we do join our voice to Christ, whatever we sing in the psalm. So let's stand and sing this. Please stand. After we sing Psalm 62, Pastor Long will come and pray for us and lead us toward the end of our service. Let's sing together Psalm 62, Selection A.
My soul finds rest in God alone. To make My rock of strength is found in God, my refuge most secure. Oh, people, at all times on Him rely with confidence.
Remain standing as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, it is with much humility, also with great joy, that we bow our hearts before You on this evening. Lord, I thank You that You have made us into a singing, worshiping people. For Lord, You have given us so much to rejoice in, so much to be thankful for, so much to remember. Lord, we know that there's much to be examined in our lives as well. We desire to be holy as You are holy, yet we know that we fall short. So, Lord, we pray that even as we sing, that You would disciple us, that You would change us. Lord, it's our great desire that we would walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling with which we have been called, that we would walk in humility and gentleness, that You might grant us patience, that we would show tolerance for one another in love, that we would indeed be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, how thankful we are that there is one body and one Spirit, and that we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Lord, to You be the praise and the glory. Lord, as two congregations gathering together here this evening, we're reminded of the common heritage that we have. Lord, not only looking back down through the ages in the work of the gospel, but Lord, in our immediate history, as You have raised us up together in this community, worshiping together, loving You together, working in the kingdom together, and then, Lord, sending us out as two people, as two groups, as two congregations, serving You in West Lafayette and in Lafayette, serving You here in Tippecanoe County and in the state of Indiana, and in the United States of America, and in North America, and really in the world. Lord, You've called us to see the world as You see the world. Lord, it is our great desire that You might continue to unite our hearts together. Lord, even as You have given us different reasons to exist and different, perhaps, personalities as congregations, Lord, we pray that we might labor together, that You might continue to give us a united vision and the ability to work together and seeing Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank You, Lord, for the relationships that exist between our congregations. Lord, it's our great desire that You might use us, Lord, in these places that You've put us, to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Lord, would You give us boldness as we proclaim the gospel to those around us? Lord, we know only You can change a heart, but we do pray You'd use us in that process, that we might have the immense privilege of seeing people come to know You. And then, Lord, we pray You'd build us up and establish us in our faith, that, Lord, in both of our congregations, we might go deep into Jesus Christ, that we might be built upon the Word of God, that Your Spirit, Lord, would work within us. Lord, it's our desire that You'd raise up laborers from both congregations, that, Lord, we might be sending congregations, that You would raise up pastors, that You would raise up missionaries, that You would raise up elders and deacons, that You would raise up laborers working and functioning in all areas of life, some, Lord, that would remain here, some that You might send to the ends of the earth. Lord, we want to be used of You. Help us to have willing hearts. Help us, Lord, to purpose in our minds to give ourselves to you, to be willing to lay down our lives for others. So, Lord, you have blessed us. We have seen that in so many ways. We've seen your faithfulness down through the ages. And we rise up together to bless you, to praise your name, and ask, Lord, that you might keep us true, that you might keep us faithful, that you might keep us walking with you. And, Lord, to you be the praise and the honor and the glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 98, the B selection, if you would, please, 98B. And we're going to sing this wonderful psalm of praise as we draw our worship time together to a close this evening. We'll sing each of these stanzas together, and after the benediction, 117B will be our doxology. Let's sing together.
Da 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 da.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord.
second, if you would. Again, let me say thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a joy to worship together. We do have snacks to make this work well. Let me just give a couple of announcements. There's a drink table in the fellowship hall. There's coffee in the kitchen that you're welcome to help yourselves toward. And then the food is all finger food, so feel free to, of course, we'll have to be patient with each other, but feel free to get in line and get some food. You're welcome to sit in the fellowship hall. I'm told it's a nice day, and we do have picnic tables outside. You're welcome to enjoy God's creation together. So I would just ask that parents, you shepherd your children well, and we'll enjoy some fellowship together. Thanks for coming.